All right, so right now on Heyam and Aleph, and we're going to be going on to Heyam and Bet today. If you've been waiting for some nice juicy Gemara after all these long Agadotot, you're going to be excited because today we're going to get to some Gemara finally today. But before, I think we're going to get to learn some of the most beautiful Agadotot about the relationship between God and us in this Masechah. So we're at the bottom of Heyam and Aleph. We are five lines up from the bottom. Tanra, the last two words in the line are Tanra Banan. So Tanra Banan, so this is from Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Bechukosai, that if you will go, you will walk forth with my chukim. So where it says ein im el lashon tachanunim, right? The word im, like if, means some sort of request or something, really a beseeching that's being made. And so if you ask yourself, realize who's speaking here right now? God is, meaning that God is seeking, is requesting, is beseeching us to keep his mitzvos. Certainly, it's similar. It says in Tehillim, "Lu ami shomeali kimat oybehem achnia." That if only my people had listened to me, then I would be able to hold forth or really overpower their enemies. Omer also similarly, it says in Yeshaya, "Lu hikshafle mitzotai." Had you listened to my mitzvos, he kinar shlomecha, and basically your peace would flow like a river. And your descendants would be like the grains of sand. But it says, so too more of your descendants, your children. So Tan Rabbanan, so again the rabbi similarly taught, possibly we saw yesterday, Mi Tain, V'hayal Vavam Zelahem. So basically God's almost saying like whimsically, like, oh, if only you had kept our relationship as it was at the time of our Sinai for perpetuity. So Amr Lahan, Moshe Yisrael. So Moshe says to the Jewish people, Kafoy Tova b'nei Kafoy Tova. You are ingrates, the children of ingrates. B'shash Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Mi'item v'hayil vavam zelahem. Right, the moment when God said to you, as you're about to embark into Eretz Yisrael, if only you had kept our relationship as it was in that pristine place, in that beautiful, intimate place back in Har Sinai. So, Hayil lehem lomar, Tinatan, Tinata. I mean, what we should have said in that moment was, yeah, God, we want it to be that way, and please make it that way. We didn't say that. We didn't capitalize on the opportunity. And therefore, he says, we are kafoy tova. We are kafoy tova. How do we see that we are kafoy tova? Because what was our response? Instead of being overpowered in awe and in gratitude for the tremendous miracles that God was doing for us, what was our response? The pasuk says here in Bamidbar, nafshinu katsa b'lachem haklukal, that our soul is disgusted by this light bread. Like Rashi explains, haklukal is light bread. Why was this the bread here, and obviously the reference here is the man, why is this considered to be light? So Rashi explains, because this supernatural thing, the man, had a very interesting property that was only the nutrients the body required. And therefore, as we know, when we defecate, we only produce waste the body doesn't need, or maybe is potentially impactful in a negative sense for the body. So that wasn't in the man. It was a pure substance that only had the nutrients that we needed, and therefore we never had to go to the bathroom. And so instead of looking at it as an opportunity, as a sense of gratitude for that experience, the response of the Jewish people was one of complaining. And how do we know we were b'nei kafay tova? How do we know that this isn't just, you're saying that's a little...
They were complaining about not having to go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
That weighs like 15 years of our lives on the toilet.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. Not just, it's even more than that, because if you were living in the machana, in the midbar, you couldn't just go to the bathroom in your tent. You'd actually go outside of all the camps and travel, and therefore do your business over there. So not just, you know, 15 years of your life, probably be more like 30 years of your life, not more. So, yeah, but nevertheless, they look at that as like, oh, it's unnatural, it's not normal, we just want to be normal people. Instead of looking at it as, again, something to be grateful about, they complain about it. And how do we know that they're b'nei kafay tova? This wasn't just started with a generation in the desert, it's been a long issue for humankind since the beginning. Because the story with Adam, dechtiv, it says, writing Adam, ha'isha asher natata imadi, right? When God turns to Adam and says, what happened? Why did you eat from the Eitz Hadas? What's his response? He blames. He equivocates. And so by doing, instead of saying that, what does he do? He says, oh, the reason why this woman you gave to me, she screwed me over. As opposed to what did God make Chava as Rashi explains, to be his Ezer Kenegdo, to be his helpmate, to be his partner. Again, instead of seeing this gift of a spouse as what it is, a gift, Adam just saw it as an obstacle. So therefore, the Gemara says that capitalizes on what Moshe was saying, that they are kafay tova, b'nei kafay tova, Kafay Tova, B'nei Kafay Tova. So the Gemara says, but however, it's important to know that Af Moshe Rabbeinu lo rams lahem Yisrael la'achar arba'im shana. However, Moshe waited to really give this intense Moser Shmos for 40 years. Shneamar, it says in the Pasuk, V'ulach itchem b'midbar arba'im shana, that I traveled with you for 40 years in the desert. And then it says afterwards, V'tiv lo natan Hashem lechem lev. Of course, the pasuk we saw earlier about if only you would have, God says whimsically, that you would have kept our relationship as is. Meaning to say that Moshe waited, even though this happened 40 years prior, Moshe waited 40 years for this Moser Shmos. And so therefore says Rabba, Shmamina, Lokoi Inish Adai to the Rabbe at Arbain Shanim. That we learn from here an important lesson, that a person perhaps never comes to understand the teachings of their teacher until 40 years later. I mean, maybe we could all think of our own examples of how, you know, things we learn, lessons we learn either as children or as young adults, or even now today, that we don't really appreciate them until much later in our lives. You know, obviously, when the adults in our life say, oh, when you're older, you understand, it's a little like frustrating and annoying, but there is some truth to it, that saying. So now, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Bana. So Rav Yochanan quotes the name of Rabbi Bana. Mai dichti, why does it say, Ashreichem zorek al kol mayim, mishalchi regal hashur v'chamor? So the pasuk in Yeshaya, right? Fortunate are you, O Israel, who sow on every water from the senders of the feet of oxen and donkeys. What's being referenced here? So says the Gemara, Ashreim Yisrael, fortunate is Israel, Bezman she'oskim b'Torah, u'gumilis chasadim, Yitzram masur bi'adam, ve'im heim masurim b'tiyad Yitzram. That we are engaged in Torah and mitzvos and acts of charity and kindness, so our inclinations, our passions, our drives, We are the masters of them, they are not the masters of us. Shneamar, how do you see that in Pasuk? Ashreichem zorei kol mayim. The fortunate is the ones who, again, sow on every water. V'ein zriya el tzedaka. And the word zriya has an association with tzedek, with righteousness, with kindness. Shneamar, as it says in the Pasuk in Hosea, ziru lechem tzedaka v'kitzor l'fi chesed. That you will sort of sow according to your righteousness, and you will harvest according to your kindness. And of course, as we know, v'ein mayim el Torah. And Mayim is a reference to Torah, Shneamar, as it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Havhoi kol tzama lechu mayim. That those who are thirsty, who are panting for water, come drink water. Again, the reference, the whole Nevuah is about Torah. And Mashalchei regla hashor v'chamor, those who send out the feet of the shore and the chamor. So Rashi here says that Mashalchein v'mashlichin regla yitzir hara. Again, they get the reference being that, you know, we sort of have this animalistic association with the Yetzirah. Chamora, Chumriyut, Shor, sense of Behamiyut. So again, I think that's the association of being is to sort of like using it as a metaphor, as a reference to the drives and the passions that we all have. But here, very, very interesting teaching. Tana Debe Eliyahu, they taught in the name of Eliyahu, La'ol Miyasim Adam Atzmo Devei Torah, Kishor La'ol, Kachmor L'masoi. That we should always approach Torah as an ox with a burden, and a donkey with its load. Meaning to say that we sort of see ourselves as primed to learn Torah. That Torah is the most natural thing for us, just as an animal, like a donkey and an ox, their natural thing to do, we use it for, is to carry. So too, our natural association should be one of learning Torah. Okay, so we finished the goddesses until now. So now we're going to get into the sukkahs. You may have forgotten so many, you know, days ago, the opening Mishnah on Bet Amud Aleph that told us that lifnei dehen she'ovda kochamim, before their holidays, before their festivals, shlosha yamim also seisot tesi mahem, it's prohibited to engage in commerce. So the Gemara says, "Whoa, why 3 days?" So here we are, the two dots on Heyam Abet. The Gemara says, "Mi ba'ina kulei hai, do you really need 3 days? Why were 3 days necessary to prohibit?" Because again, we're saying that one of the issues, as Rashi mentions over here, is that you're going to sell the thing you're going to sell. Let's say, for example, the animal you're going to sell to this, let's say the festivals on Sunday. So the animal you're going to send to this pagan on Thursday, you're worried that they're going to use it and sacrifice it to their god in the festival. The question is, do we really have to be worried that much? So what kind of parallel or correlate can we use? We're going to look to our own tradition in terms of how we relate to sacrifices and to rituals. So the Gemara says, Zubiya Kulah, I really need that much long of a time. It's not. We have a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Chulin. Ba'arba Prakim Mishana, at 4 times during the year, Hamocher Behim Lachaveru, Tzarech Lahodia, Ima Macharti Lishchot Bita, Lishchot Bita Macharti Lishchot. There are 4 times during the year, these are going to correlate to 4 holidays, where you have to tell the person who's buying the animal from you, that I sold its mother today, or I sold its child today. What's being referenced here? There's the Isser of Osov Espino. You can't shecht, you can't slaughter a mother and its child in the same day. And so the assumption being here, the reason why you have to tell that is because you, when it comes to a holiday, the assumption is the person buying the meat, buying the animal, is going to slaughter it that day. So those days, you have to go ahead and let them know. So when are these times? Ve'elohein erev yontov ha'archon shel chag, the eve of the last day of Sukkot, erev yontov ha'rishon shel Pesach, right, the eve of Pesach, erev atzeret, right, Shavuot Eve, and erev Rosh Hashanah, and the eve of Rosh Hashanah. And also, according to Rabbi Yosi HaGalili, it's not four times, it's five times. Af Erev Yom HaKippur and Begalio. And the Galio, also Erev Yom HaKippur. Just as an aside, Rashi points out here, what do you mean Rosh Hashanah? So the whole discussion comes from Rosh Hashanah, which is that, what is the nature of Rosh Hashanah? You know, the Chagim, there's a Samachta V'Chagecha, you have to be Sameach, you have to have meat, you have to have wine. So the question is, does that halacha apply to Rosh Hashanah as well? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi here says, V'chein Rosh Hashanah, Yom Tovu, it's a Yom Tov, V'ochlim Basar. You eat meat. So it sounds like, according to Rashi, that it's not just, the Rosh Hashanah isn't distinctive from the other three chagim, but rather is included in this obligation of Yechalta Basar. And if you look at the note in the glosses, in Yod, he quotes the Rashbam, who says, not only is it a time, why is it a time of eating meat? Because Rosh Hashanah Yom Tov Ve'osa Bo Simcha. Meaning that this question of, you might think, because Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, it's a Yom of Haktarah, where we coronate a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore there would not be Dev Simcha. But rather, we could say, according to, you know, based on Rav Soloveitchik, his famous idea that the really Simcha relates to being Lifnei Hashem. So on the day we're coronating God is one of the greatest days of Simcha. Same thing with Yom HaKippurim. Since it's Lifnei Hashem Kitaro, it's the day of standing before God to be purified from our sins, those are the days of greatest Simcha, and therefore the halachos of Simcha would apply even to Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. And if you'd be asking, well, how does the mitzvah of Simcha apply to Yom HaKippurim? So the way that the briskers would explain it is that, yes, it's true that the tzom, the fasting and the inuyim of Yom HaKippurim overrides the simcha. However, nafkamina, let's say you get very sick and you have to eat. So do you celebrate? Is there a simcha that's going to be celebrating in your eating now? So according to this reading, there would be, because it's not that you neutralize the simcha of Yom HaKippurim, but it's rather it's overridden for the time by the temporary overriding of the tzom. So the point from here to be drawn is that how many days is this halacha operative? 3 days? No. This halacha of telling people, by the way, I sold the mother, I sold the child, is only one day. Meaning to say, like what I was implying from here, that when it comes to preparing for a festival, it's not 3 days that people are preparing, it's one day. Yet here we have this much longer period of time when it comes to the pagan festival. That is so different than our own festivals that they have 3 days of preparation, yet we only have one. So Gemara says, no, it's very different. That when it comes to eating, yes, so when it comes to our festivals, so we're going to be eating these things, the Korban Pesach, we're eating the meat for Rosh Hashanah, for Sukkot. So there, for Achila, you only need one day. However, when it comes to Hakrava, they're not doing it for one day, they're doing it for Hakrava, they're doing it for offering as a sacrifice to their gods. So that, says the Gemara, requires more time, more preparation. Therefore, that's why it's 3 days in our Mishnah and not just one. So Gemara says, "L'hakrava sagi b'tlas yomi." So now we go to the opposite extreme. We should tell me for Hakrava, to really prepare to encounter your, you know, in this case, the pagan gods. It's only going to take 3 days? But we have a different teaching in our own tradition that's against that. This is from the Gemara in Megillah. Many of you maybe learned. Sholin v'halchos ha-pesach, korban ha-pesach, 30 yom. Then when it comes to the festival, we already start preparing for it, not one day, not 3 days, but 30 days. He says, no, it's only 2 weeks. The point being that whether it's 30 days or 2 weeks, it's much more of a period of time than 3 days. So it's not going to be the one day because that's for achila. And you're saying that it's more of a preparation, so 3 days. Maybe it's not 3 days. Maybe it should be 14 days. Imagine that. Or maybe it's 30 days. Every 30 days before a festival, you can't do commerce. So guess what? That'll be the whole year. You can probably never do commerce with pagans. That's like Hanami. You can never do commerce with pagans. So Gemara says, no. Our halachos are different. Our halachos are much more complicated. Anan deshchichi mumin depasli afilo bedukin shebe'ayin b'yin talten yomin. That for us, the halachos regarding sacrifices and the halachos of the holiday are far more complex and detailed oriented than the pagans. To the point where even for our animals, the halacha is that there's a mum, and a little slip, a little like cut in the eye, that will render the animal puzzle. However, for the pagans, at least, meaning not just as pagans, but as Bnei Noach, that's not the case. What renders their korbanos pasul? So the Gemara says, in who, the mechusar eiver is lehu, betasa yom eisagi. That for them, what's going to be the only pasul? That the animal's missing a limb. If the animal's missing a limb, then that's a problem. But these more minute, minor, really like micro psulim aren't relevant to Bnei Noach, and therefore you need less time to be inspecting and checking out and being bodeg their animals. How do we know that? How do we know that the psulim of korbanos to Bnei Noach is limited to these much more major examples? So Gemara says here, it's a Gemara in Zvachim. The Amar of Elazar taught, Minayim luchusar eiver, the asa of Bnei Noach. How do I know that if the animal is missing a limb, it is prohibited to Bnei Noach? The Chtiv, it says regarding Noach, so the paradigm, Mikol achai, Mikol basar, Shtayim Mikol. By describing all the animals that are being brought to the teva, so mikol hachai, from all of that that is alive, mikol basar. So the Gemara says mikol hachai, the drasha is applying that amra Torah haba behema shechayin rosh evarim. You need to bring animals who their extremities of their limbs are alive, so to speak, meaning they're still whole, and therefore meaning the implication here being that the slim, which is mechusar eiver, is missing a limb, would be problematic for a korban. You may be asking, but what was the point? Because all the animals that Noah brought on the teva were supposed to have the ability to be brought as a korban, at least the kosher animals. So how many the mute treva? So Moore says, wait a second, you can't learn out that this idea of mechusar eiver for the pasuk of mikol achai, because we need that pasuk for a different halacha, which is the idea of treifa. That a treifa is also prohibited to a ben noach. The question is, what is a treifa? So this is actually, we're going to see a big machlokus regarding a treifa. Because some say a treifa is an animal that's only going to live 12 months. Some say a treifa is an animal that's only, that can't give birth. And some say, as we're going to see right now. So Gemara says, wait a second. So we say, no, we have another proof. We have another proof, and that is from this other pasuk, which is treifa lechayos zera nafka. That the pasuk continues and says, from those which can give off offspring. And therefore, that is the pasuk that teaches us that a treifa is prohibited. So Gemara says, wait a second. Hani chlamanda amar treifa in yoledes. That makes sense according to the opinion who says that what's a treifa? Something that can't give birth. And therefore, the pasuk that says you need animals that can make offspring, it makes sense that they're going to have, that's going to be a reference to a treifa. Elamanda amar, top of vav and aleph. Treifa, oh, you guys don't have, sorry. Treifa yoledes. Maikla meimar. So what about treifa, who says that it can give birth? So says, oh, we have another pasuk. Amarkra itcha. The God says to Noah, with you. So what does that mean? Itcha, with you? B'domen lecha. Those that are similar to you. So the assumption being that Noah, just like Noah wasn't a treifa, so to the animals, when we brought a teva, can't be a treifa. So Moses says, wait a second. V'dilma Noah gufei treifa hava. Maybe Noah was a treifa. So Moses says, no, it's supposed to say about Noah, tamim. He was tamim. So V'dilma tamim dark kav. It doesn't mean about his body. It means he was tamim in his ways. So it says, tzaddik. He was a tzaddik. So Marcus says, well, maybe Dilma Tamim Darkav, tzaddik b'ma'asav. He was, you know, his integrity, he had great integrity, and also he acted ethically in his actions. So Gemara says, no, it can't be. Have a low stock of daidach to Noach gufei treifa. It's impossible, cannot imagine, it's illogical to assume that Noach was a treifa. Why? Tisakadaik to Noach treifa have, if you think that Noach was a treifa, Amrle Rachmana, Kavatcha ayel shlamen lo ta'ayel. Meaning that God was saying, we should bring up sacrifice like you, and God would intentionally, from the get-go, be asking for, you know, things which were missing limbs that are going to die? No, says the Gemara, we gave all these proofs trying to give it from Psukim, that, oh, maybe you can see from this pasuk that Noah wasn't a treifa, or that pasuk wasn't a treifa. The answer is, Svara. It is impossible to imagine that Noah was a treifa.
Isn't that Svara
circular? Yeah. I mean, I
you
hear
you. Bring a treifa because treifa would be like, Noah, and you... You know that because Noach wasn't a
treifa,
but you only know Noach wasn't a
treifa
because the
korban. But also, I guess, the assumption being that's sort of like thrown in there is that God would not want a treifa,
but then
being offered him.
That's not exactly, but that's your right, actual right. Statement. You're saying,
right, meaning you have to, you have to, yeah, you're to assume.
It's not circular; it's just weak.
No, you're right. You have to exactly. You have to assume that God from the get, that meaning that God ultimately, like the optimal hakrava of an animal is one which is shalem.
Then why bring in Noah at all?
Right. It's a good question.